continue our series of the month of February, A Change of Heart. And today we want to talk about heart failure. Heart failure. I know that February is the month that we get excited about relationships. We get excited about our significant others and our spouses and all of those things. And I appreciate the focus about getting excited about our relationship with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that as it relates to our relationship with Jesus, it is primarily a heart issue. Amen?
Amen.
It is a heart issue. And so we want to continue spending this month focusing on a change of heart. A change of heart. So today we want to talk about heart failure. Heart disease and heart failure is one of the leading causes of death in this country. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, even my own father died of a heart attack because he had heart disease and he had heart failure. Amen? It's amazing because it does not come without its warnings. In fact, you receive warning signs and the doctor gives you warning signs all along the way, letting you know that that because of your family history, you have a potential for a heart disease. The doctor lets us know all along the way by letting us know that you have a buildup of plaque inside of your arteries in your heart. The doctor, he gives us warning signs and he lets us know that we have heart disease. And if we don't get it in check, then we will find ourselves with the hardening of the arteries, which eventually leads to heart failure, which eventually leads to death. And so you see, heart failure is not without its warnings. And I think that as we consider heart failure, even in the life of the believer and even in the life of the world, it is not without its warnings. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, I want to praise God for his grace in saving me. Do you know that there are people in our world today that are living in our world today that will never know the riches of God's grace? It saddens me to say that there are people in this world that will die and will never know Jesus as their Savior. I'm so grateful because God has given us a church family. He's given us a group of people that know Jesus. He's given us a group of people that appreciate one another, that serve one another, that pray for one another, that fellowship together and hang out together. God has given us all of that at Legacy.
Yes, amen. Amen. Amen.
It's amazing what God does when he brings people together for his purposes.
Yes.
You see, God has given us the gift of eternal life. And even in the Christian walk, and as we aspire to grow spiritually, and as we aspire to grow in our sanctification, there are times when we experience in our Christian walk, in the life of a believer, there are times when we are in danger of experiencing heart failure. We ought to be praising God this morning.
Amen.
That we are still here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We ought to be praising God this morning because God didn't just annihilate us. He didn't zap us out of existence.
Amen.
As we look at our text this morning, we see a patient God.
Come on.
We see a God that's working with the nation of Egypt. He's working with Pharaoh. He's working with the magicians, the leaders, those people surrounding Pharaoh. We see a God who is patiently working with him. As we consider our text today, we see that Moses has returned to Egypt. And when he returns to Egypt, he confronts Pharaoh about the demands of God to let the children of Israel go, to let his people go. Yeah. You guys know the story. Pharaoh refuses Moses' demands. In fact, not only does he refuse Moses' demands, but he makes the burdens on the people harder than they were.
That's right. True.
Israel find themselves where they are burdened to a point of breaking. And so they turn to Moses, and Moses turns to God. Moses goes back in Exodus chapter 9. He goes to Pharaoh again and says, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." Yes. Pharaoh says no. And by this time that Moses is going back and forth to Pharaoh, three plagues have taken place. And when Pharaoh says no again, God issues three more plagues. And what we see from the text is that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. What does it take to get through to Pharaoh? Imagine the arrogance of Pharaoh standing against God. After such a great demonstration of God's power, imagine the arrogance, imagine the pride of Pharaoh to stand against God. Can you see God's miracles in your life? Can you see God's grace? Can you see God's mercy working in your life? I can see it because we had an extended testimony time today, didn't we? People talking about God's grace and God's goodness and what he has done in their lives. And in light of what God has done, how dare we stand against God?
Amen. Lord, yes.
How dare we look at the hardships and the circumstances in our lives, and how dare we look at those things and stand against God?
Yeah. Amen.
It's amazing that even in the midst of Pharaoh standing against God, even in the midst of Pharaoh demonstrating his arrogance and his pridefulness, God was patient with Pharaoh.
Yes, he was.
God said to Moses in Exodus 4 and 23, before he ever arrived in Egypt, this is what he says, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And this is what happens in the very first meetings with Pharaoh. Not just the later ones after the plagues begin, but it begins before the plagues. And every time we see in the scripture, we either see that Pharaoh hardened himself against God, or we see that God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes.
The text says before the first plague that still Pharaoh's heart was hardened. After the first plague, so Pharaoh's heart remained hardened. After the second plague, but when Pharaoh saw there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Even after the third plague, the text says that then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God."
Yes. Come on, preacher.
Yes.
I still preach.
Yes.
But Pharaoh's heart was hardened.
Yeah.
You see, Pharaoh had reached a place in his life where even those around him said, "Look, this is God's doing. This is the sovereignty of God. This is God moving. This is the finger of God." It seems like the magicians and the people around Pharaoh had a change of heart. But Pharaoh refused to soften his heart. The thing about God's grace and God's mercy, God's provisions, is that there are times when the only way that we know that we receive from God is that it came from God's hand. The only way that we, you know, we proclaim this must be God that's doing this because I can't do it in my own strength. There were times in each one of our individual lives when God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, His, as some might say, His irresistible grace, begin to draw us. And God's calling on our lives, that calling out of darkness was so strong that we couldn't resist it. And so we said yes to Jesus. And you know, the call of God out of darkness does not come without its struggles. Amen? You know, just because we know Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're going to get the Cadillac and the Lexus, the BMW, the $500,000 house, the dream job. It doesn't mean that all that's going to come. Because you see, those things are temporal. And when we focus on the temporal things, then we lose our focus on God. It doesn't mean that we're going to get everything that we want. But it does mean that I am safe. It means that I am secure. It means that I am no longer bound. It means I have freedom in Christ Jesus. It means that I have joy. It means that I have peace. It means that I can trust God for this day and have confidence in knowing that God is going to take care of tomorrow. You see, the things that God gives me as a result of my salvation are not necessarily temporal and earthly things, but sometimes they are spiritually blessings seated in heavenly places. Amen. And I ought to rejoice because of those things. Amen. But in times of trouble, we resent God. In times of trouble, we resent those who are close to us. In times of trouble, we resent life. I want to submit to you today that those times when God seeks to grow us and mature us and we reject that, I want to submit to you today that that is the first sign of heart failure. I want to submit to you today that as a believer, that when we reject God's leading, when we reject God's prodding, when we reject God's decisions and providence and sovereignty in our lives, when we reject those things, it is the first sign of a diseased heart. As we look at the patience that God has with Pharaoh, it's interesting because as we look at this, Pharaoh comes to a place in his life where he acknowledges his sin. Look at verse 27, chapter 9, verse 27. Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, "I have sinned this time." You see that in the text? He says, "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones." You see that? Pharaoh reaches a point in the whole ordeal where God is sending the plagues one after the other, and he reaches a point where he says, "I have sinned. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are the wicked ones." It's amazing how when we get in trouble, we cry out to God. I used to hang out with some of you guys know Brother Joshua Dennis, and we would go over to the jail and do prison ministry together. And so they will give us some training. Mark, you've probably heard this before as well. You've done prison ministry. And in the training, we were warned to look out for jailhouse religion. You see, there were times when, even when I remember sometimes going to court and having to go to court with different people in the social services area field. And when the person comes to court, they have the Bible with them. Shackled and coming in the courtroom, but they got that Bible with them. Jailhouse religion. You see, what we don't know, but what God knew, is that Pharaoh's repentance was shallow.
Yeah.
You see, he was willing to acknowledge his mistake and his unfairness, but he did not repent of his blasphemy of God. You see, what we don't know, but God knows the heart.
Yeah.
And so we can cry with our mouths, but God wants a repentant heart.
Yeah.
We can raise our hands. We can run around with all kind of exterior displays. But God wants a repentant heart.
Yes.
God wants brokenness before him.
Yes.
Moses says in verse 29, Pharaoh says, make supplication to the Lord. For there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And so Pharaoh reaches a point in his life where he says, I'm sorry, I repent. I was wrong. But God knows the heart.
Yes, he does.
He knows the heart. Truth. The truth is that God knew his heart.
Yeah.
Legacy, the truth is ugly. There are times when the truth can be ugly. There are times when we don't want to face the truth because we know how ugly it can be. Mm. It took me a long time to face the truth about flying. The truth is, I don't like to fly. But you know, it's amazing because when you think about flying a plane, you see the brochures of the stewardess and the flight attendants, and looking so friendly and so beautiful, and everything is just smooth skies. You see the brochure of the beach, and you're sitting on the beach, and you're drinking your Diet Coke. You see all of the beauty of flying, but the truth the real truth doesn't come until they close the door on that plane.
Well.
Then they start telling you about your seatbelt. They start telling you about your oxygen mask. If something happens, the oxygen mask will drop down. They start telling you about the rows are going to light up, and they point out the exit doors, and they're talking about the flotation device. You see, the truth is that if something happens, you're going to die. They tell you that you're going to land in Denver at 9:30 in the morning. But if you don't land in Denver to 10:30, that's the truth.
Well,
the truth is ugly.
Yeah.
The truth is ugly. Sometimes we try to pretty up the truth, and we try to make it, we soften it up to ease the blow, don't we? But the truth is that there are times when our heart is hard. And we try to fix it up. But the truth is that God knows the heart. God knows the heart.
Yes, he does.
In fact, Moses reveals Pharaoh's true heart. Moses, in verse 29, Moses says to him, as soon as I get out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. And the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured on the earth. You see, the true condition of Pharaoh's heart was that he was on life support. You see, Moses reveals the truth. He reveals what's really going on with Pharaoh. The truth is that he failed to admit that God, the earth, is the Lord's. He failed to admit that God is sovereign and that God is great. He failed to admit those things. Even after seeing God's glory, he refused to admit it. Because what it meant, as we were saying this morning, what it meant is that the Pharaoh of Egypt, a succession of pharaohs, at least over a period of 400 years, had been subjecting the Israelites' people to slavery. Yeah. And what it meant is that this Pharaoh would have to admit that the God of the Hebrews is greater than the gods of Egypt. Yes. He couldn't see himself doing that. He couldn't see himself fearing God. He couldn't see himself acknowledging God's glory. Where's your heart today, Legacy? A heart for God acknowledges God's glory. A heart for God fears the Lord. Where are you when you see God's glory? Where are we, Legacy, when we know that God is speaking truth in our lives and we reject that truth? Where are we when a brother or sister comes with you to pray with you and to speak truth in your life and to encourage you? Where are you? Can't you see God's glory? Can't you see God moving and working? So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. Wow, you see the truth, Legacy. The truth that we find with Pharaoh is that no matter what God did, Pharaoh was going to still be resistant. He was going to still be prideful. He was going to still act arrogantly. He was still going to reject the true and living God. And so Pharaoh manifests his true heart. Look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. It says, but when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, the text says he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Wow. Yeah. You see his true condition? You see the true condition of Pharaoh's heart.
Yes.
Remember earlier when I said, I'm so thankful that God has saved us, that God has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Mm-hmm. You remember when I said that earlier? We ought to be thankful that God has called them to ourselves. Because there are times, Legacy, when we as true believers, we choose to harden our hearts. I know that we talk about two different issues in this passage. Because one issue is the idea of God hardening Pharaoh's heart. And the question always is, why would God, the God of mercy, the God of grace, why would he harden Pharaoh's heart? And we know that this is the issue with sovereignty of God people, the election people, the reformed theology. We know this is their hotbed. But the question is, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? It seems like at some point Pharaoh was doing the hardening. And then it seemed like it progressed to a point where God was doing the hardening. And so the question is, why would God do something like that? Why would God play with his emotions like that? It's amazing what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. The text says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my magicians, signs, and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my people, the Israelites." And so it seems unjust for God to harden Pharaoh's heart and then to punish Pharaoh and Egypt for what Pharaoh decided when his heart was hardened. Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? I want to give you maybe three reasons why I believe that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The first one is that Pharaoh was not an innocent man. Pharaoh was not a godly man. In fact, the Pharaohs and the Egyptians had enslaved Israel for over 400 years. The same Pharaoh and even his descendants, they were the ones that they didn't mind killing babies if it meant decreasing the Hebrew population.
Yeah.
You see, Pharaoh was an evil man and the nation he ruled agreed, or at least they didn't oppose his evil actions. And so Pharaoh was not innocent. The Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, the reason God hardened Pharaoh's heart is because Pharaoh was not innocent. The reason that God harden Pharaoh's heart is because we are all sinners and we all deserve God's judgment.
Yes.
So you see, God hardening Pharaoh's heart, it wasn't so much that God was unjust, is that God was bringing judgment against somebody that was already guilty. But it's amazing legacy. Because we get it twisted and we feel like in our humanity that, okay, a loving God, why would he do something like that? And we don't focus on the fact that all of us are sinners. And before Christ, we were all condemned.
Yes.
And God, the third reason that God saw a hardened Pharaoh's heart is because God is sovereign. And because God can do what he wants to do. And not only that, think about this though. As terrible as the plagues were, God demonstrates mercy in Pharaoh's life. He gives him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to submit to God. And so God didn't necessarily judge Pharaoh on the spot and say that you are a sinner, you are out of here. But God was giving the nation of Egypt an opportunity to give him glory.
Wow.
He was giving the nation of Egypt an opportunity to trust God. God is patient with us.
Yes, he is.
God demonstrated that patience toward Egypt even in the midst of the plagues. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 9. Verse 17, he says, the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.
Yeah. That's right.
You see, the whole idea of God's sovereignty in hardening Pharaoh's heart is that his name would be proclaimed in all the earth. The whole idea of God hardening Pharaoh's heart is so that he would be glorified. The scripture says, therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. And he hardens whom he wants to harden. And I know that from our humanity, this seems very wrong. It seems wrong for God to harden a person and then punish the person he has hardened. But remember what I said a few minutes ago? We all have sinned. We all deserve God's punishment. And it's only by God's grace that we were spared God's punishment through his son, Jesus Christ. It's only by God's grace. But you see, that's one issue. The other issue of the hardening is the hardening of the heart of a believer. You see, God will take and harden the heart of an unbeliever to perform his purpose, to bring glory to himself. But there's another issue where God will, where the believer will allow their hearts to be hardened. In fact, the hard heart leads to bitterness. Bitterness is resentful cynicism that results in antagonism. It results in hostility towards one another. You ever experienced antagonism? You ever experienced bitterness from somebody? It's because of a hard heart. It's because of a hard heart. It's because the person refused to listen to the warning signs. It's because the person refused to listen to God's warning and God's patience and God's grace. And so they allowed themselves to experience a hard heart and bitterness. The Bible teaches us to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. It then goes on to tell us how to deal with such bitterness and its fruits by being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. It's amazing because Jerry's uncle and aunt that live in Ohio, in some way, in an indirect way, I think that their marriage was a testimony to us. Not Uncle Harvey, but your Uncle Curtis. No, it was Uncle Harvey. Uncle Harvey and his wife. They represented to us a godly couple when we saw them together. They always had kind words to say. And you could just see in their interaction towards one another that they were a godly couple. Just a beautiful sight for us to see that over the years. But you know what, guys, we have in our lives, we have seen couples that have been married for 40 and 50 years and demonstrate bitterness towards one another. We have witnessed couples tell one another, "I wish you would just die." We have seen couples treat one another in such a way because of the bitterness that had built up in them, because the hardness of their heart over years. And they were just constantly antagonistic against one another, hostile towards one another. I'm trying to show you what a hard heart can lead to. If we miss the warning signs, I'm trying to show you what it will lead to. God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, he warns us to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. You see that? Read that scripture when you get a chance. In Hebrews 12, 15, he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. You see, God has given us grace. God has given us the grace that we need to be compassionate. God has given us the grace that we need to be forgiving. God has given us the grace that we need to love one another. He says in Hebrews 12, 15, he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We must always be wary of allowing bitter roots to grow in our hearts, because such roots will cause us to fall short of the grace of God. He says, And the grace of God is what enables us. The grace of God is what enables us to demonstrate compassion and loving kindness and forgive one another. It's the grace of God. I can remember times when me and Jerry, we could tell the argument was coming. And I could feel myself getting hot inside. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
When you feel yourself getting angry, you can feel the heat rising.
Amen.
And it's only because of God's grace that we're able to temper the heat.
Amen.
It's only because of God's grace that I didn't say some things to Jerry that I would have regretted. It's only because of God's grace that I'm able to demonstrate any kind of compassion, any kind of forgiveness, any kind of love. It's only because of God's grace. And you see, the warning sign that leads to heart disease is when we miss the fact that we operate not in our strength, but in God's strength. You see, if we operate in our strength, then we allow the plaque to build up. If we operate in our strength, we allow the hardening of the arteries. When we operate in our strength, we allow heart disease. You see, when we operate in our strength, then we setting ourselves up for a heart attack. But God says it's His grace that allows us to do it. It's His grace. It's His grace. It's God's will that all of us would live in love and joy and peace and holiness and not in bitterness. That's why we must diligently be on guard against this heart disease, against bitterness. We must be on guard.